This morning we are blessed to have Chuck Snyder bring our message, and I will be reading the scripture reference from Romans 8, 26 to 27, if you want to join me. Romans 8, 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Blessings to you, Chuck, as you bring the message.
Thank you very much. Some of you I've known forever but don't really know you, and you don't really know me, but because we're in and around the Deaf Church, we have been, Nancy and I have lived between two cultures and two worlds for over 35 years, and what's happened here is incredibly rare and a sure sign of God's work here. I've never seen a partnership between deaf and hearing people that lasted. It just doesn't. Things bother people. Like, what do you guys think of that boombox? Have you heard that in the morning when we're worshiping? That the whole place is kind of rocking. It's really a great thing. As a person who is not deaf, I love to come to worship and hear music. Music is so, it's an amazing thing. Something that you cannot explain to deaf people at all, something that deaf people are never going to get. It's such a deep, ingrained part of our culture, and it means more than anybody not in our culture could ever understand, what music carries with it. But one of the aspects of joint singing is that the music allows us to be on the same page, literally on the same word, as we sing together. So there's a unity in that. And what the beatbox does is it gives that part of it to the deaf church. It allows them to kind of be on the same page, to have the same words coming out. So I think it's fitting that in your bulletin, right above where it's I am, it says hearing. Which, if you know the deaf world, you know that that's how I have to identify myself when I'm in a deaf world, as hearing. And Randy told me not to go over an hour, right? Is that, why are they laughing? No, he actually didn't say that. I want to explain a little bit about, I decided to do the same PowerPoint that I use in the deaf worship. So there'll be stuff here that maybe you're not used to having. We put all of the scripture that we read on overhead because that's the only way that we can read it together. You can look down at your Bible while I say the verse, and we're reading it together, but the deaf people can't look down at their Bible and look at me while I'm reading it. So we put it up. That way I can see when everybody's kind of had it. And then, so all the scripture will be on the board, and my sermons are predominantly scripture, so that's mostly what you'll see up there. The other thing I need to explain about the PowerPoint is that is the coloring on it. When I first came here, Raymond Rohr, longtime pastor, first deaf, was part of the church. His eyes were going bad, so I did some research as to what were the best things for difficulty in seeing, and these are the colors that came up. And we need to explain, too, that we're in the middle of a series. Not the middle of a series. We are, what month is this? We are 11 months into a series on Romans, and this is where we're on Romans 8, 26 through 27. So you haven't had this series. We'll kind of try to catch you up a little bit. Okay. Well, we already read the passage. And what this passage tells us is that we are weak. And the context here is that we're fighting to live a life of hope, a life of faith, a life of love in a world that is sin sick. That is just, sin has had such an amazing effect that we face death, that we face pain, that we face struggles, that we face heartache. We face all of those things because of sin. So living in that sin-sick world, we know that we are weak. And we saw earlier in Romans 8 that we're fighting to live according to the Spirit. We're fighting to set our minds on the things of the Spirit and what the Spirit desires. Later on it says that we're fighting every day to kill our sin. We're fighting to live out our adoption as sons and daughters, sons and heirs. Now, just a quick aside. Some people don't like the fact that the passage says sons and not sons and daughters, but there's a reason for that. We have to understand their culture. Not talking about how to translate it, but by seeing that the word son there, the first son was the heir of all things from the father. He was the one who got everything. If the father died, everybody got something, but this one got the farm. He's the one who not only got everything, but also all the responsibility. And so in that sense, God adopts us as sons, meaning he adopts us as heirs of everything, along with Jesus Christ. So that's why the word sons, so don't get offended by that. But we're fighting to live out what it means to be God's children, God's son, God's daughter. We adopted two of our children, and our number three son was from Colombia. We adopted him because he was deaf, and that when he turned two, he stopped being deaf. It's just a very strange and long story. Happy to share with you sometime, but we had adopted him. He was now our son in every way, shape, and form, but he didn't know how to live like a son. He would eat until he threw up because he didn't know what it meant to be full. He ate whatever was there, and it was never enough. Okay? He hoarded all of his toys and sat on them when somebody came into the room. He barricaded the door. If we were coming to church with a potluck, he barricaded the door so that we wouldn't give away our food. See, it took him a lifetime to learn to live as a son, as my son, having a father who would take care of him, a father and mother that he could trust. And that's what it is for. We're fighting to live that way. That's part of our struggle. We're fighting, it says, to trust God instead of live in fear. And we're fighting to have hope in the midst of this sin sick world by looking at things we can't see, which is really weird, to look at the things we can't see, not the things that we can see, to look to the future, to look to that better home that we have. And we're fighting to wait for that patiently. So that's kind of the context we're looking at. We're living in this world of sin, sin within, sin without, and it's hard sometimes. And sometimes it's harder than other times. This brings us to our passage now, which kind of focuses on one specific weakness that we have as a result of the fall. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what to pray. Ever happened to you? Do you ever feel like you don't know what to pray? Like, what should I ask for? Should I ask for healing, or should I ask for patience to live through this cancer? Should I ask for both? What's God's will in all that? Again, this is the first time ever that I've done both preaching in two, both languages on the same day. So you'll have to just bear with me a little bit. They had to bear with me a little bit because my notes are a little bit different and you're a little different. And I'm... Yeah, you sure are. So just be patient with that. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. Now that's good news, right? If we ask according to God's will, he hears us. But the problem is we don't always know what his will is. Jesus gave a good example of this in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed for the cup to be taken away, so that he wouldn't have to face the resurrection the next day. Excuse me, the crucifixion the next day. That he wouldn't have to die. But, he said, not my will, but your will be done. It's a great example to us. And God has revealed much to us in Scripture. So, much of what we need to pray for. Let me give you just one example. in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 to 5. It says, it's God's will that you should be sanctified. So, we pray for sanctification. That you should avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that's holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And so, whatever struggle we're going through, we can pray that God will use that in our sanctification, in making us more and more like Jesus. So that's just an example of the kind of things that we know we can pray for. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray for that His kingdom would be established on earth as it is in heaven, to pray for our basic needs, to pray for forgiveness, for strength against temptation. We know that it's God's will to make disciples of people all over the world. And so we pray for our missionaries. We pray, as Jesus said, that more missionaries would go out, that God would send more laborers out. And we pray for our own witness within our own little sphere that we relate to people. We pray for those in authority over us, Romans 13 says. So there's a lot of things we know to pray for. But there are times we don't know what to pray for. And that's specifically true in the midst of suffering. That's true in Job. I mean, think about Job. It's just hard to imagine what Job went through. You know, he's got all of that. Everybody, all this stuff dies, happens to him. It's just he's lost everything in his world. And the one person who should be most supportive to him comes up and says, curse God and die. That's her counsel to her beloved husband. I mean, that's just a hard thing to go through. It's hard for all of us to go through that. Whether we lose all of our children or whether we lose one. Whether we lose one child to death or whether we lose a child to the world. Whether we lose friends, whether we have cancer, whether we have pain all of our lives, whatever that suffering is, we often don't know what to do about it. We don't know what God's will is it for it. Scripture said if we pray according to His will, He'll answer it. But how do we know what His will is? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have no idea what His will is for us. Think about Paul. Paul had this thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it is. It might have been an eye problem. There's some physical thing going on in Paul. And he prayed that God would take it away. And he prayed three times that God would take it away. And then God revealed His will. He says, my will that you have this. And Paul stopped praying for that. The other time, Paul is wrestling with it. You know, he's near death. He's been in prison. And he's wondering, what should I be praying for? I want to live because that's what's best for you. I can continue to serve you. I can continue to minister to you. But I want to die because then I can be with Jesus now and be done with all of this shipwreck, beaten, all the stuff that Paul went through, all of that pain. And so he's struggling there. What is God's will for him? That's what he was struggling to find out. And we end up in the same place. We are weak. We don't know what to pray for. We sometimes, and especially when you're struggling like that, you start to doubt God, or you start to think that maybe God is against me, or you're just so worn out that you just can't pray. Not you just don't know how to pray, you just can't pray. You know, you run into this same brick wall over and over and over and over again a million times and you just can't pick yourself up and trust God again. And that's the kind of position that we're talking about. That's our weakness. We get to times where we don't know how to pray. But the good news is that when we are weak, we have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit. Kind of the forgotten member of the Trinity in some ways. I think that it's almost as if they drew straws and the Holy Spirit got the short one. We really honor God the Father. The Christian church is all about Jesus, and we sometimes either forget the Holy Spirit or we get in a place where they elevate it above everything else. Okay, but we forget that we have God indwelling us, living within us. helping us in our weakness. That we have the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, living in us, helping us. That's a lot of power. I mean, I've known some strong people, and I've known some really gifted, skilled people, but I've never met anybody who would even think of raising somebody from the dead. It's just there's too much power involved. But that's the power, Paul said earlier in Romans, that resurrection power that's at work within us. Right? So we're weak. Paul has helped us over the last few weeks. You haven't been hearing the sermons, but over the last few verses, he's helped us, encouraged us to have hope in God. But he says, you know what, I have a better helper than that. We have a better helper than that. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know what to pray. So how does the Spirit help us in our weakness? Very simple. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with wordless groanings. And he who searches hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will. What's implied here is the Holy Spirit does know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray. We're stuck. But the Holy Spirit does know how to pray. And the Holy Spirit does know God's will in that situation. As you know, what's a good idea is to read through Scripture as if it's a letter you've gotten and you haven't read before, anticipating what comes next. Okay? As I read through this, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know what to pray, but the Spirit, I expect, helps us know God's will, helps us know how to pray. Isn't that kind of the logical end there? My problem is I don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit helped me. Aha, He's going to help me know how to pray. But that's not what it says. What it says is He intercedes for us with wordless groanings. Basically what's going on here is that there's times when you just can't pray. When you don't have the words to pray. You don't know what to pray for. You have these groanings, these sighs, just this consternation going on in you, and the Holy Spirit takes that, okay, to God. And God knows the mind of the Spirit, and so He understands it. Okay? The Holy Spirit, it's not that He helps us understand what God's will is. He helps us pray. He helps us have access to God. And that's the big deal. One of the big deals of having the Holy Spirit in us is that He does that. Now, intercedes is an interesting word. It's not one we use every day. It's a compound word in Greek from the word hooper, which means in behalf of or for, and another word, which I won't bore you with, which means to light something up. So it's as if He puts a spotlight on our needs. He puts a spotlight on our need in that moment. The thing we don't know how to pray for, He puts a spotlight on it so that it's understood. What's even more interesting is the root word of this is the word to hit the mark, to attain to something. There's a point at which an intercessor is called an intercessor because he's successful. He successfully takes our prayers to God. Okay? There's no failure in this. He will do it. It will get to God. God will understand it. God will hear our prayers. Holy Spirit gives us access to God. We saw that earlier in Romans 8:15, that by the Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. Ephesians 2:18, for through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And Romans 8:27. Now, He searches hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, because He prays according to God's will. See, that's the big deal. It comes out of this. We don't know what to pray because we don't know what God's will is. So we just groan. We suffer. We struggle. The Holy Spirit takes that to God. And the Holy Spirit knows what God's will is, and so He asks for the right thing, And God hears it, understands it, because God knows the mind of the Holy Spirit. That seems like a good thing that we have going in our lives. But we so often live as if we don't have the Holy Spirit. Or we live as if we don't believe the Holy Spirit has any power in our lives. That's part of the problem. And, you know, in the Christian world, you've got on one side people known as charismatic and Pentecostal. And on the other side, you have people known as, well, they would call them dead. But, you know, you have people who don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit and you know, who are much more staid and much more following a electionary, a specific way of worship as opposed to let's just go where the Holy Spirit wants to go. So you have those two things, and from each perspective, they look really strange to each other. But what happens is, in either case, we just don't believe the power of the Spirit. Here, they believe the Spirit is somebody who just, and it's all exciting, and it's really happy time of worship, but it doesn't help them necessarily when they face that cancer, when they don't know God's will, because they think they do know God's will, because it's always God's will to heal. So they miss the boat. They don't get to experience that. We have a close friend who died, who kids never got the chance to say goodbye, even though he was dying over a long period of time and he knew he was dying, because the pastor told him, you pray for healing and that's all. That's all you're going to pray for. God will have, Jesus will have victory here. Okay? Satan will lose. It's the devil. He'll lose. He'll live. So they never prepared the kids, and the husband died. The wife goes back to the pastor and says, what happened? Well, he has the ultimate healing. Why didn't you say that beforehand? You told me that was a loss. That was Satan winning. See, they don't... Yeah, the Holy Spirit just becomes this rah-rah. On the other end, the Holy Spirit is something that only comes out in songs, in maybe in the doxology, you know, in certain times and certain verses, but does not have any impact upon our life. But the point is, we do have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. The powerful Holy Spirit of God living within us. The Holy Spirit of God does lots of things we're not talking about this morning. He's the one who gives us power to say no to sin. He gives us the power to be changed, to become like Jesus. He gives us the ability to worship God. He brings us together. He gives us unity. All these great things. But what it's saying here is that He helps us in our weakness, that when we pray and don't know how to pray, He intercedes for us with wordless groanings that God understands, because He knows the mind of the Spirit and because the Spirit prayed following God's will. That's the good news. I don't usually do things quite this way, but I'm going to do something a little bit differently here, because I wanted to get through the Scripture, and then I wanted to step back and talk about, just real briefly, some of the encouragements this should bring to us. And John Piper, who's an author and pastor in Minnesota, listed a number of these. I've taken a few from him and reworded them, but I wanted to give him credit because it's the one that gave me the idea. First thing we should encourage when we go through hardship, when we go through difficulty, when we don't know how to pray, one thing that should encourage us is that God doesn't expect us to always know His will. We don't have to know God's will. We don't have to know. I mean, we'd sit there, we'd like drive ourselves crazy. Which college am I going to go to? I got to know God's will for which college I'm going to go to. You know, sometimes, you know, when you find out, when you're there, and you say, oh, well, this was God's will, because here I am, right? Who does He want me to marry? Does He want me to take this job? Does He want me to take that job? Is He going to take me home, or am I going to beat this cancer? There are so many things that we want to know God's will in. And He has given us a rich amount of His will that we can know and that we can pray for power to obey, right? But we don't always have to know. It's okay to not know what God's will is for our lives. It's okay to muddle through that trusting in God. Secondly, God's, allowing people time to read it, but you don't need that time as much because you can read while I talk. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? You guys take that for granted probably every week. God's work is, for you, is not limited in what you can understand and express with words. Ephesians 3:20 tells us that God is able to do exceedingly more than all we ask or even imagine. And even dream up what he could do, he's able to do more than that. And that's good news, because we sometimes don't know what to pray for. Look back in your lives at some of the great things God has done in your lives that you would have never imagined happening to you. And God used that in your life. You know, things with your children. I look back in terms of adopting our third child, who was from Colombia. I had no idea what that child faced in his life and what it was going to mean for me to learn how to love him as a father, and how to be broken of pride and to be broken of, to be humbled, to be changed, to become more loving, to become more compassionate. I would have never imagined that all that would have come out when we prayed that God would give us this son, right? So God is able, it's not dependent. So if you're not like a really good prayer, don't worry about it. You know, you hear these people and they go, that just sounds so good, and I just can't, I can't do it. God's work in your life is not dependent on your ability to express yourself. That's good news. Thirdly, when you are weak, whether you're sick, confused, or grieving, you can know that the Spirit of God is praying for you and not against you. Is that one of your struggles? Some of us have this struggle that when bad things happen in our life, we feel or we think that God is against us, that God is punishing us, that God is mad at us, that He's against us. And that makes it even harder to pray, because now you're like mad at God. And please don't pretend you're never mad, upset, disappointed in what God has brought your way. And so we go to pray, and we don't know what to say because we're just lost and upset and angry and confused. You can know that the Spirit is not praying against you, but is on your side and praying for you, in your behalf, on your behalf. That's really good news for us as well. And finally, God the Father hears and understands the prayer of the Spirit. So when you feel very weak, suffering, sickness, failed plans, relationship problems, difficult decisions, when you just don't know how to pray, don't give in to despair. Don't allow yourself to believe that the difficulties are because God is angry with you, or that God is punishing you, or that He's mad at you because you don't know how to pray. Okay? We want our kids to ask. That was one of the hardest lessons our third son, our son from Columbia, learned. One of the hardest lessons he learned was to ask for something instead of just screaming, because that's what he did in the orphanage. He screamed, he got fed. He screamed, he got picked up. Comes to our house, he screamed, he doesn't get anything. He's got to learn to ask for it. Okay? And it's a hard thing to do, and it's a hard thing for us as well. We have trouble asking God, and then again, we don't know what to ask of God. Okay? Don't give up. Trust that the Spirit of God is interceding for you, that the Spirit who does know how to pray, the Spirit who does know God's will in that situation, is praying for you. That's a very hopeful thing for us as we face difficulties in our life. Let me pray to close us. Father, we thank you that you have not left us alone, that you've sent us a helper, a Holy Spirit. Your very Spirit, who created everything, who has lived with you for eternity in joyful peace, is now indwelling each of us, so that we are temples of your Holy Spirit, and we together are being built into a temple. It's just exciting to know that God is at work. Thank you. Thank you that Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness when we don't know how to pray. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.